This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Breakfast Grill and I am Tan Chen Lee. Remember the old days of classifieds in the newspapers where there are advertisements for buying and selling secondhand goods? Well, like most things, there is a new way of doing this. Invariably, it's online. We speak to one such player, Carousell, one of the leading classified marketplaces that has attained unicorn status with a US dollar 1 billion valuation. We speak to Tang Siu Wai, the Malaysian country manager, to find out what is their strategy for growth and the challenges they face. So Siu Wai, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me, Shelley.
First of all, can you give us a sense of the Malaysian operation? How much is the Malaysian market contributing to Carousell's overall business in terms of revenue?
So we are a marketplace that allows anyone to buy and sell almost anything, right? So the Carousell Group has two brands in Malaysia. We have both Muda and Carousell. So in terms of contributions and all, I think especially Carousell Malaysia, we are in the growth phase. So every country that operates, you know, within the Carousell Group has different stages of maturity. For example, Singapore is very mature. The matrix that we are measuring is very different compared to Malaysia. Here, we are very much into growth.
So is Malaysia maybe a top three contributor to Carousell Group?
Yep. So like I said, we are at different stages. So we wouldn't like rank Malaysia's first, second, third. So maybe in certain matrix, right, like in terms of growth, we are definitely one of the top countries, right? Because we are actively growing because of the whole tailwind from the pandemic. But in terms of like monetization and all, certain mature countries monetize it a lot better because there's a lot more solutions that we roll out in those countries.
And you mentioned about Muda.
Yeah.
So back in 2019, there has been a merger, right? So you are two different brands operating under one roof. How do you segregate in terms of brand differentiation?
So that's a really good question. So initially, when I started the Malaysia local office, we were competing with Muda, right? Then over time, you know, we realized there's a lot of synergy if we get together. So end of 2019, we actually like merged the two companies, right? So Malaysia is the only country within Carousell Group that has two brands running classifieds platform. So we have different roles to play, right? So Muda has been here in Malaysia much longer than us. They are very established in things like property and autos, especially autos, right? Carousell plays a very different role. We are very much into lifestyle, right? So a lot of pre-loved fashion, you can see all those things actually happening on Carousell. It appeals a lot more to the Gen Z, millennials, the younger generation as well. Not to say Muda doesn't have it, but we focus a lot more in those kind of segments, right? Whereby we actually ask people to declutter, give them a reason to sell. Muda is a bit more male skewed in terms of the demographics, right? So we do choose, right, I would say, the right to play in certain categories. So although we have all these categories, we don't actively go and say, hey, you know, Muda guys come over or vice versa. We don't.
So in terms of competition, you are often being compared with Facebook Marketplace or Instagram Marketplace.
Sure.
Do you think these are your direct competitor?
Sure. So I would say to Carousell, any platform or marketplace that allows people to buy and sell, like online or offline, is considered a competitor, right? But we also don't want to look at it that way. So for us, especially Carousell, we see it in a way that there's massive problem to solve in secondhand, right? Right. There's so many things like trust, safety, and quality related to secondhand. There's so many things to solve. So I think the people coming into this space, right, like if you say Facebook, Instagram, doing this, yeah, it's just a validation of the problem that we want to solve, right? More people want to come in and solve this problem. So I think the opportunities and pie is big enough.
But how are you going to differentiate yourself from these marketplaces? Because it's so easy to just, you know, take a picture, list it online and sell. You know, I can go to any platform.
Yep. So there's a lot of ways to differentiate, not by just copying something, because like, for example, Facebook or Instagram does their own social media things very well. Whereas Carousell, I think what's really appeals to users is the intent, right? So when people come into Carousell, it's not really to look at somebody's birthday or or those whatever cute cat pictures and stuff like that, right? People come to Carousell really is with the intent of either I want to sell some stuff or I want to buy some stuff, right? So the people who come in, for example, you have your closets full of stuff, right? You want to get rid of it, right? Or you want to change your fashion stuff, right? So Carousel immediately becomes a place where you say, hey, actually, I can just put all those things. It's the same as Facebook. You actually list all the pictures, but what we do, our algorithm is actually trying to appeal those things a lot more to the fashion users that has this intent to really buy those stuff from you. So the matchmaking, the whole artificial intelligence of those things is something that we invested a lot, right, to make it different. So we leverage a lot on the user intent that we have. Yeah. So there's a lot of recommendation, all those kind of things going on. Yeah.
So if I were to look at how this e-commerce has evolved, right? Yeah. There's now a trend to go into video commerce or social commerce.
Yes.
So, you know, that has picked up a lot, you know, during this last 2 years, I would say.
Mm.
Why hasn't Carousel offered this? Isn't it easier for your users to sell their products?
Yeah, so like I said before, right, it's copying directly, you know, to the competitors. What they're doing is not the way we want to really go forward, right? I think it's trying to find what's unique. So we listen to our users, right? They say life is the thing. What, you know, what we could be doing about it, right? So I think when we allow them to chat with each other, there's already a way for them to, you know, to communicate, right? Whether it's just the chat, and then they meet up and do all the kind of stuff or phone calls. So I think to a certain extent, we allow them that flexibility to happen. But in terms of, you know, trying to do live and all, we have some small experiments here and there, some exciting experiments here and there. But before we actually roll it out at scale, we wanted to make sure we test enough of the solutions we are offering. So
there's plans to roll it out?
Yeah, there's plans to have something that is along the line, but it's not exactly the same as what the other guys have. Again, if you do the same thing, you probably will not get the result, because we could be behind, right, trying to do that. So
that's right. So that was my next question. Mm. Are you behind the game then? Because this has taken up so widely and so popular among users in the e-commerce sector. So are you behind the game then?
I would say not, right? So rather than trying to chase after all the shiny objects, right, that's what I want to say, right? We focus on doing something that, you know, will create the maximum or the most impact value for our users, right? So the matchmaking, the, you know, trying to make sure buyers and sellers can sell successfully through, for example, payment and delivery, right? Through Carousel protection, something that Facebook, Instagram doesn't have, right? So we make sure that the buying and selling is safe on Carousel, safer than the other guys, right, in a way, right? So you pay the money through Carousel. Carousel will tell the system will tell the seller to ship an item, right? And we release the money once the buyer said it's okay. So those are all the solutions, right, that differentiates ourselves, rather than, again, trying to copy the other guy. So
I want to shift the attention to community or the network element, because your founder has said that this is a very important element to Carousel, which I also see is reflected in your app. You have this feature, which is the group feature. How do you monetize these features? Does it drive traffic to the platform?
Yeah, so groups is something I would say is a project that just to be absolutely honest, it didn't do very well. So maybe in the coming months, you will see that we removed the group feature. just for love. But because that time we were saying, groups do so well in Facebook, right? Facebook group. So let's do a Carousel group. We already see group buys, all those things happening. But again, the mistake was copying someone. What happened is that in social media, the moderators or the admins actively manage the group, right? But it's in Carousel, we have certain admins that do it very well, certain admins that don't. So that didn't take off as well as we wanted to. So you will see, like I said, in the coming months, probably you will see changes. So in Singapore, they're already piloting certain stuff. We wanted to move away from those, again, focusing on what we do best.
I want to ask you about the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because it has been 2 years since we last spoke to you. Mm. And there has been a rapid growth in the e-commerce sector during these last 2 years because a lot of people went online or went digital to provide and also to purchase goods and services. But how has the Malaysian market fared for Carousel in the last 2 years?
Well, so in short summary, we did really, really well. Those targets or growth targets that we set, to do by end of the year, whatever, right? It's all met way earlier than what we expected. So that's the good part. So
can you quantify for me how good is good?
Yeah, I'll quantify for you in terms of those figures afterwards. when the MCO first started, right, what happened is that there were a lot of knee-jerk reaction. Businesses were forced to close. And so what happened is that it affected all our the cash on delivery, because that happens a lot in Carousell. But it was also very timely for us the time we roll out this Carousell protection, online payment and shipping. So we actually planted the idea that, hey, you know what? You don't need to really meet up. There's contactless options, right, for you to do so. And in 2020, around May, June, kind of time, we worked with MDEC Penjana, right, to actually provide business grants and CaroBiz solutions to the retailers. So with that, then a lot of people actually come to Carousell, right, to actually promote, right, the services. So retailers, how we attracted retailers that time was that they come in, they use Carousell as a platform, right, to say, okay, now I offer staff price or discounted price. So, or they put like, I want to be providing clearance items. We were known for secondhand, right? So, but 40% became new items. Now, in terms of how we have grown so far is double-digit growth in terms of almost all the metrics we see, right?
You're comparing then, pre-pandemic and pandemic.
Pre-pandemic. And the listings per day is actually in millions. Views, the listing views is actually in millions. And then the number of effective listings that people post is in tens of thousands. So we measure this thing called liquidity, meaning like how fast you get to sell an item, right? So that has shortened easily. We look at pre-pandemic and pandemic, right? Easily around 20%, that timelines that shortens the duration that people want to.
So you still haven't quantified for me.
How I give you percentages, growth? Right?
Oh, your percentage is just double digit.
Yeah.
What is the double digit?
I can't reveal the exact double digit, but if you're talking about year on year and the numbers are in millions a day, that's a lot.
But the pre-pandemic, it was also in millions, right?
It's in millions, but it's in higher millions a day now. Can't give you an exact figure. We have this whole policy of cannot disclose exact number. I give you a range enough to say, yeah, these are the stuff.
You have been listening to The Breakfast Grill, and with me this morning is Tang Siu Wai, Country Manager of Carousell Malaysia. Up next, how does Carousell protect consumers from scams and counterfeits, and are the Malaysian operations profitable?
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. We are speaking to Tang Siu Wai, Country Manager of Carousell Malaysia, this morning. Before the break, we were discussing the competition and are they behind the game in the social commerce game. The last time on The Breakfast Grill, it was mentioned that Carousell makes money from three areas: ad spend, premium user packages, and subscription services. Are these still your revenue generators?
Yes, it is. It is.
Which of it is your biggest contributor?
I would say the biggest contributor will be on people buying the premium services on the platform, right? Bumps or spotlighting the listing itself. So that's definitely in terms of the quantity, that's the most. And monetary, that's also the most.
Right? In terms of percentage?
Can't be exact percentage, but it occupies a huge percentage. But another big one for us was also the media advertising. So we work with big brands, right, that wanted to target to certain audience, right, with certain intent, right? So, for example, we know, based on what people are buying and selling, we know, like, for example, if you sell all your slim fit wear items and you start searching for all the, breast pump and the rest of the stuff, you probably know you are an expecting mother in certain extent. So then you see milk brands can work with us to actually target this kind of audience. Not necessarily they sell on Carousell, but you will see a lot of their ads that is personalized to this particular group of audience. Yeah.
But other than these three revenue sources, are you looking to expand your revenue sources? Say, you know, for example, okay, I understand you have Carousell bumps, yeah. You have Carousell coin now, you also have Carousell protection. Is this part of the premium user package or this is actually in addition to it and which is your new revenue source?
Yep, so... Okay, so in Carousell, there's this whole twin engine of growth, right? So we have the traditional classifieds, right? We call it classifieds 3.0. I can explain to you why it's called 3.0 because that's evolution, right? So that is the whole thing you mentioned about the coins, how the coins were used to have premium services like bumps and spotlight. That's the main revenue generator. But we also have this new engine of growth called the classifieds 4.0, which has a lot to do with re-commerce. transactional future, right? So the thing that we mentioned just now about carousel protection, that is a 4.0 space whereby there is, you know, when the transaction goes through carousel, the buyer is actually paying for a certain protection fee, right? That those kind of transactional fee, or even, for example, if they use the shipping solution, there is certain, what you call that, apart from the cost, they are paying shipping revenue. We have shipping revenue from those things that they ship through the platform. So that's a transactional future that we are creating. But again, it's about driving growth for users first.
Is there more in the plan or in the works?
Oh, definitely there are a lot more, right? So we are also piloting in Singapore, right? This thing called the certified electronics. So the key thing is, how do we make secondhand phones sold online with things like warranty, return and refunds, right? Like just like how people are buying from the, you know, the traditional e-commerce site. Because we're piloting it, right? So what we do is we work with very reputable merchants, right? Business users that offers this kind of services to our users. And, you know, by offering, you know, like just like how you buy Apple Care, the additional warranty and the rest of the value added services, those are the stuff that do get monetized in certain ways. So, but the real thing for us is really about providing value first.
In terms of accounts or profitability, because you have merged with Muda, and although you operate two different brands, but the accounts are all in one. So if I were to ask about just Carousell alone, is Carousell's business or Malaysian business profitable already?
Yeah, so I think for us, really, at this stage, at least for Carousell Malaysia, the main task is really on growing first, right? So we will actually spend or invest a lot in terms of making sure we have this kind of solution, right, to for our users, right, to transact easily and faster, right? So profitability is definitely in the pipeline, is what we want to get to.
But how long in the pipeline?
How long in the pipeline?
That I think we can see profitability.
I think, again, it's not really about just we want to be profitable. In fact, if we want to, we could, right? But like I said, we are investing in a new engine of growth, which is the re-commerce and the rest of the stuff. So there will be significant investment in terms of getting the tech people, the product people to build all these things, and also working with partners. So I wouldn't put like just Carousell Malaysia profitability as the main thing, but building that new engine of growth is the main thing. So,
but your founders would be impatient about this, right? They would want to perhaps see a plan, you know, a cash flow projection even. Like, when are you projecting the business to be profitable? There are now other investors as well, right?
Definitely.
There will be this pressure.
Oh, yep. So definitely, as someone leading the country, right, for Carousell Malaysia, that's definitely forecast and things like that, and a lot of alignment happening there. So all I can say is they're happy with it, right? And the investors that come on board, right, they do believe. You know, like, for example, last year we got $100 million from SDIC, right? So they do think that the potential of Carousell, right, in driving this re-commerce is huge, right? Because we are leading this whole re-commerce effort, right, in entire Southeast Asia, including Hong Kong and Taiwan.
Then that drives me to my next question. Carousell on the group level received this $100 million in the latest funding, latest round of funding in 2021 from Korean STIC Investments. Yep. But what are the plans for this $100 million?
The big plan is really to grow that engine, the re-commerce engine, right? And that's what everybody is very excited about, because we see a lot of innovation happening. So maybe one more thing that we are piloting is this whole authentication services, right? So, for example, there are a lot of people buying and selling luxury items, right? Rolex or LV or whatever in the platform, right? Through the platform. So and you need to solve the problem, right? Like how to make sure people are actually buying the real stuff, right?
Yes.
So we are investing in or experimenting with this kind of authentication capabilities in selected countries. So those requires investment as well. You need to build up a team that is capable of doing those kind of things.
Yes, that is also my next question for you, because there is a lot of reports of e-commerce scams that took place on Carousell's platform. What measures do you have in place to prevent scams?
Yeah, so that's a very good question, because in Malaysia, we also know scams happen everywhere, right? It's not just, to be honest, it's not just on Carousell, right? It happens in social media, it happens in many other places, or even phone scam and the rest of the stuff. But we put trust and safety as the main thing, right? It's the top priority in Carousel Malaysia.
Yeah,
right?
But what do you do about it?
Yes, correct. So that's what I want to be telling you. So one of it is continuous investment, right, into artificial intelligence, right, capability, right, to sort of have fraud detection at scale, right? So, for example, if you know certain profiles that comes from a certain IP address that is, you know, risky, or certain people have certain patterns, right, when they chat and those kind of stuff, the system actually can almost immediately detect those things, right, and ban that person. That's detecting at scale, right? But AI needs to learn over time, right? So what we also do is invest in the team of skilled and trained personnel that's able to moderate these things, right? For example, if the system flagged that this is potentially dangerous or harmful content, it gets flagged to the moderators. So the human will actually look at it again and determine if that is harmful or not. But even doing that, the scammers are also very smart, right? They can also still, you know, find various ways. So we continuously like invest in technology and the people, but we also leverage on our community. Meaning to say, if you are a Carousel user and you felt that, you know, the item is not genuine, you flag it to Carousel, then there's also people looking at it. So we have done invested a lot in the education of people, looking at our reviews. So we invested in our review system as well. Less of this thing happening in Carousel because Carousel has Carousel protection. We have review system, very strong review system. We have AI detection at scale. And on top of that, maybe I'll just add one more part. It's like we have very close collaboration with PDRM or the CCID department, right? The Commercial Crime Investigation Department. And also like with KPD and HEB, right, to, you know, clamp down on all these kind of cases. So, yeah.
Does your AI system is sophisticated enough to pick up counterfeit items? Is it able to detect counterfeit item?
So that's a good question. So for counterfeit item, it's tricky, right? Because anything, like people can post different type of pictures and stuff like that, right? And depending on how detailed the photo get posted, right, it, the image recognition can only do so much, right? So what we did is we launched this program called CROP, right? Carousel Rights Owners Protection, right? So CROP basically allows the brand owners to sign up with us, right, to sort of remove these things that they think is counterfeit for them. So, for example, we have brands like Nike, we have Grab, we have also, you know, a group like Kering Group. They own Gucci, they own YSL, Balenciaga, Bottega Veneta, those luxury brands. So what they do is actually, they see people listing those secondhand items and it looks fake to them because maybe it just doesn't have certain label or that model doesn't exist. They can take it down themselves. So what I say is that we find various ways to do it and collaborate even with partners to do this. So it's, we're not on our own because we don't know exactly this particular watch actually exists or not because we don't own the database.
On that note, thank you for your time. Today on The Breakfast Grill was Tang Siu Wai, Country Manager of Carousel Malaysia. I am Tan Chen Lee, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.